There's a child care epidemic going on. And for those of you guys that have kids under the age of 5, you know exactly what this is with infants. And those of you that want to have kids, today's going to be the podcast you're going to want to pay attention to. Here's what happened. When COVID took place, one of the industries that no one talks about or even looks at the numbers got destroyed. Why? Because everybody was forced to stay home and work from home. And child care and babysitters are like, wait a minute, I went to school for this. You don't need me anymore? The numbers decline, not as if this is a very high profit margin industry. Their margins are 1%. And wait till you see how many of them never came back after COVID. I got a bunch of data here. I got one stat here I want to read you before I get into everything else. Families are making major sacrifices to afford quality care. Number one, working multiple jobs, 28% of them. Number two, reducing hours at work, 27% of them, so they can spend time with the kids. Number three, moving closer to family, 25%. Going into debt, 19%. Leaving the workforce, 17%. Some of the data here is absolutely staggering. And if you're a parent, you're going to say, I agree with all of it. We're going to talk about all this stuff here today. Okay, so if you get value out of this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. So between 2020 and 2022, 16,000 childcare programs nationwide closed. Not 16,000 childcare employees, programs, 16,000 during those 2 years of COVID closed, and a 9% of decline in licensed providers. Meanwhile, while that is taking place, 51% of Americans live in communities classified as child care deserts, and 31.7% of U.S. children under the age of 5 cannot access a child care slot. I'm going to show you a map that's going to show you where is going to be the biggest desert of child care, where there's not a place for people to drop off their kids. What state do you think would be like the one with the most? You would probably say some of these bigger states, right? Maybe like a state of California, maybe. But take a look at this map. When you look at this map, here's what you'll notice. Areas where there are few licensed slots for the number of children who need care are known as child care deserts. The darker it is, the more of a desert. For example, the dark brown ones, that's 60% is what it is. More than half of America's children live in one of these areas. Now, meanwhile, if you have kids or if you want to have kids, you need help. You're like, wait a minute, how am I going to pay for everything? I'm working, my wife, my husband. How are we going to make, I need help. I need someone to help me out with childcare. Watch this.
You know what the pandemic did to us? It made many people lonely in America where they did not have somebody to talk to. Numbers came up saying 33% of Americans feel lonely. JP Morgan Chase just came out talking about 99% of Americans are doing worse today financially than they were 3 years ago. This may be tough times for some people. One of the worst things you can do is not talk to anybody. That's why today's sponsor is BetterHelp. What BetterHelp offers you is the opportunity to connect with over 30,000 licensed therapists who are trained to listen and give you helpful and unbiased advice. One of the great things about BetterHelp is sometimes if you want to go to an office or go meet with a therapist and talk to somebody because you got nobody in your life, you go to an office, you're sitting there, other people are looking at you. What if you run into a coworker, family? It's a little bit embarrassing. BetterHelp, you simply do it on your phone. You talk to somebody. A therapist doesn't work out for you. They'll replace it with somebody else at no cost. And all you have to do to get started is fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and you'll get matched with your therapist in most cases within 48 hours or less. Over 4 million people have used BetterHelp to live healthier and happier lives, and all you need to do is click on a link below or go to betterhelp.com/valuetainment to get a 10% discount on your first month of therapy with a licensed professional specific to your needs.
61% of parents living with at least one child age 17 or younger said they did not have any formal child care arrangements. And when you break down the number to get a little bit deeper into this, here's what you'll notice. Again, this is data from U.S. Census Bureau from 2022. We already said the 61%, but look at the second one. 8.4% child care or daycare center when there comes down to child care arrangement. 5% use nursery or preschool. 5.1% before care, after care, or summer camp is what they use. 0.8% is a federally supported Head Start program. 5.4% is a non-relative. 21.8% is relative other than the parent. And 2.5% family daycare provider. Again, for those of you that don't have kids, you're saying, Pat, why do I care about this? But for those who have kids, do you know what percentage of parents rely on this? 58% of working parents rely on childcare centers. That's about 6.38 million parents in the U.S. And if you break this down on how much money we're losing with this, annual economic losses because of childcare translate to $21 billion in lost tax revenue, $23 billion in lost business revenue, and $78 billion in lost individual earnings. So let's look at the cost. Some of you are saying, well, how much does it really cost in different places? What about a different market like Oklahoma versus Florida versus California versus D.C.? Here's what it looks like. 2023 average cost of a nanny, living nanny, $40,000. The average cost of daycare is $17,000. And when you look at this map to see where are the highest versus the lowest, you'll notice DC all the way at the top for child care costs. Again, this is now 2024 at $19,214. Massachusetts around $17,000. And you'll see Washington, Jersey, Connecticut, Minnesota, New York is around $12,800. California is $12,168. Now look at the lowest, Mississippi, $5,439. Four times less than DC. It's almost as if DC parents should send their kids to Mississippi to save the money and then flying back on a Friday. That would be less than send them to childcare in your state. Think about that stat right there. Obviously, I'm just being funny here, but the idea is you're saving that much money sending them to a different place. Then it's Arkansas, South Dakota, Kentucky, Missouri. Look at Florida, $71.86 for childcare in the state of Florida. That's very impressive. So the Department of Health and Human Services came out with a number on what percentage of your income should be reasonable for you to spend for child care. The number they came up with was 7% of a maximum percentage of household income spent on child care. Yet, you know what the number is? 24% is the actual number families use on child care. That means if you make $80,000 a year, it's $20,000. That means if you and your husband make $160,000 a year, it's $40,000 being used for childcare. If you're a parent and you got infants, you're sitting there going, yeah, honestly, Pat, I don't have a clue how we're doing it. Exactly. I understand. That's why these stats are a childcare epidemic that a lot of parents are going through today. So now you may be sitting there saying, well, we got two problems. One, these guys got 1% margin. They're not making any money. So guess what? If you're only making 1%, why do you keep doing it? You're not. You're going to shut down more because there's no money to be made. So if you're doing $1 million business per year, you're making 10 grand margins. That's it. Why am I doing this? Now, we need to make sure they're making more money. But at the same time, we need to make sure parents can afford to do this. So you got a couple problems. One of the problems that they have on why this is so expensive is the ratios that classrooms have to follow. It's state by state, but some of the ratios are actually very high and very low. You'll see why. Again, the guidelines on how many kids can be per caretaker vary state by state, but I want you to take a look at some of these here. This is the ratio that we have right now, right? Recommended staff, child ratio, and group size at child care centers. Infants younger than 12 months, one adult should care for no more than three infants. One, what if they took that to four? Now, you may be a parent saying, I don't want it to be four, but you also want these guys to stay in business, or you spend more money. So as a parent, you have to be like, I guess if we add one more, I would be okay with that. Guess what? That's increasing their margins by 25% specifically to this category, right? Number two is 13 to 35 toddlers is one adult per four. Number three is preschoolers, 3 years old is one per seven. Then it goes to one per eight, four and five. Then it goes 6 to 8 is one per 10. And then 9 to 12, 1 per 12, right? So then the numbers are kind of going in a higher direction where there's some money being made. But this is one area where is an issue why the margins are so small for some of these businesses. Now, here's what some of the industry folks are saying about this who actually do this for a living. Because of these limits, that means more staffing, which means higher payroll costs. Says Melissa Clagrisso, who has a place in West Virginia called Place to Grow. She said you also have to pay for supplies, insurance, utilities, equipment, advertising, amongst other expenses. On top of that, loosening the staff-to-child ratio, Diana Thomas and Devon Gorey use variations in prices and state regulation requirements to estimate that loosening the staff-child ratio by one child across all age groups reduces center-based care prices by 9 to 20% generally, or 2 to 5% for 4 years particularly. And by the way, watch this complete opposite argument being made by Randil Heap and Rebecca Kildern, who found increasing the stringency by reducing the number of children in the allowed staff-child ratio by two raise the price of childcare by 12%. So if you have a limit of five, you go to three, you just raise the childcare price to people by 12%. If you kept it at five, it would have been 12% less. So again, these are people that are running a business saying this is exactly what we're experiencing. Apply to real world childcare costs. The conservative end of these estimates suggests that relaxing the staff child ratio by one child across the board in Mississippi and DC could reduce the average childcare prices by $166, and that's roughly $2,000, could reduce average childcare prices between $466 to $2,078 per year, respectively. And by the way, I'll give you more numbers here. The average infant childcare cost per week for child nanny is $766, that's 2023. For daycare is $321. For family care center is $230. Now, toddler childcare per week, nanny, again, $755 for one, $293, $219. If you go to the bottom, babysitter cost per week, one child for an after-school sitter is $292, for babysitter is $192. And again, parents are feeling this. It's not like this is something we're talking about that parents are not feeling post-COVID. Look at this one here. Nearly a majority of parents responded, 47% of them spend more than $1,500 a month on childcare expenses in 2023. 49% of them plan to spend the same in 2024. This adds up to $18,000 per year. Aside from that, 20% of respondents reported spending more than $36,000 per year on childcare in 2023, in which 23% anticipate doing so in 2024. And while they're saying all of these, I'm like, why is childcare increasing? The number one reason they said was inflation, 55%. Number two was childcare centers have increased rates, 53%. Number three was childcare providers were already impacted by childcare cliff, which is a number we talked about earlier, 39%. And when it comes down to these parents tapping into their savings, look at these numbers here. More than one third, 35% of parents who responded report tapping into this source, their savings, on average spending up to nearly half of their savings, 42%. On childcare, and 25% using more than two-thirds of their savings. When asked how long their savings could hold out, a staggering 68% of respondents said that they only have 6 months or less until their savings are depleted. 6 months or less, 68% of them? That's a scary thought. By the way, the CEO of this article that I'm giving you, I'm going to put it below for parents that you want to read. There's a bunch of great stats and numbers for you to read into and resources. The CEO of this company, Brad Wilson, said, within the first 5 years of their child's life, parents are being forced into a financial hole that is nearly impossible to climb out of. I agree. Here's some data to show you on why this is taking place. Because of COVID, if you look at this chart, employment within the U.S. childcare industry is below its pre-pandemic trend. So if you look at this, look at the actual employment from 2015. It's climbing 2016, climbing 2017, climbing 2018, 2019, 2019. What happens? COVID. Look at the drop-off. It goes from 1,050,000 employees to less than 700,000, gradually comes back up. And today, now that the pandemic is over with, guess what? It's still 153,000 fewer jobs than it was pre-pandemic at regular levels. Why? Because a pandemic forced a lot of parents to stay home and do homeschooling, and they're sitting there saying, I don't need childcare, babe. I'm just going to raise my kids from home. And some companies are allowing parents to work from home, and they're saying, we don't need a daycare anymore. We're just going to raise our kids from home, which means a lot of people that are working from home are also not fully working from home. They're also taking care of their kids. They're doing childcare while working from home. But this is catastrophic for this industry, and God knows we need more people in this industry. And again, more stats to validate this. The slowest recovering industry sector in America is U.S. child sector, recovering after pandemic. Take a look at this chart. Pandemic happens, they drop off. Other industries were worse than childcare, like hospitality, restaurants, other industries, but they've recovered, and childcare is the lowest to recover from COVID. Meanwhile, which makes sense, they have the highest level of job postings if you look at this. Why? Because there are 16,000 fewer centers to work at, so they're looking for jobs. Imagine you went to school. This is what you love kids. You love taking care of kids. Well, guess what? There's no job for you. You have to change your career path. You're submitting your application, but they don't need that many people because there's not facilities. People are staying home and figuring out different ways to have to make this work. And by the way, all the salaries during COVID pretty much went up except for one industry, and that's childcare workers. Imagine you're like every year, yeah, 36 grand a year, 37.5, 38.9, 39.3, 41.2, 43. Childcare, boom, boom, boom. Kind of weird. Why? It's just not a lot of margins, and companies can't pay because we got to make profit. This is all we can afford to pay, and we have to be penny pinching because if we pay you too much, we're going out of business and we're shutting down. Can you work for only 13 bucks an hour, 11 bucks an hour, 14 bucks an hour? While inflation, lifestyle, everything is going up, cost of living is going up. No, your job is lower by 4%, childcare workers. How weird is that? That the salary for that is also gradually declining on some of these stats that you're looking at. And when you look at what they actually make for a living, it's not a lot of money. In the highest city, state, DC, it's 17 bucks an hour, to the lowest is 9 bucks an hour in Mississippi. This is not a high paying job, yet it's a very important job. Final thoughts. Obviously, COVID disrupted this entire industry, and many other industries have gone through disruption, so there's nothing you can do about it. That's kind of what took place. Question. Pat, what do I do? I can't afford to have five kids. I want to have five kids. So what do I do if it's 40 grand a kid? You know, if it's is 20 grand a kid, and that's after tax money. It's not like you're giving this money and it's a write-off. You get what I'm saying? So if you live in the state of California and this is 20K a year, let's just say, so you're paying all the taxes. Maybe you have to make 30 to pay 20. So if you got four kids, the 30 is really what? 120. You pay your 10K, 20 left for your four kids. So just 120 a year went to childcare. How do you expect me to go through this? This is how I process this. The people that are really being affected by this is low-income people versus high-income people. Quite frankly, low-income people shouldn't be having too many kids if you can't afford it, because one, you're putting yourself in a bad situation. Two, you're putting your kids in a bad situation, and you're putting taxpayers in a bad situation. Some of the laws we have right now in America, that 40% of kids being born are born to a, you know, single mother. It used to be 4%. Maybe single mothers need to stop having kids. Like, kind of pump the brakes. Use condoms, right? Be a little bit more protective. You can't afford it. And why should we pay for it? Our incentive program we have is completely out of whack, where taxpayers have to pay for you having unprotected sex. Why am I paying for your enjoyment of sex? I didn't enjoy that sex. You did. And you didn't use a condom. I got to pay for it. That's a level of frustration on a lot of taxpayers that are paying for that. And more like, yeah, the way we save this, another entitlement program, another entitlement program, another entitlement program. First, let's change the entitlement programs that we have. Incentives must change. Number two, I think this is also a great opportunity for companies to see an additional benefit to offer as an employer. You know, when I ran a sales office in 2005, 2006, I realized my top performers were all married couples with kids. So guess what I did? My most common complaint when I would train at night at 6:30, 7:30, they would say, Pat, I don't have a place to bring my kids. So I created one room where I put toys, soft pillow, movie, cartoons, and we would have a couple of our guys that would, their responsibility was being a daycare, taking care of the kids. And then at the same time, kids would come there and they would play, they would do things, but there was an outlet for parents to say, I'm going to bring my kids there. No problem. They had other friends that were playing. They were having a good time. I think this is an opportunity to use this as a way of being creative. But to me, one can say, Pat, what do you expect me to do? If you can't afford it, don't do it yet. Go increase your market value, make more money, or figure out what's important to you. But some of the stuff is leveraging family, leveraging parents. Maybe you go back to using some of the old school methods where family values, principles, people living together, co-pooling, co-babysitting, co-childcare, somebody in the family that's willing to do that. I think it's going to require a lot of creative ways of doing this. It's definitely not easy, and it's going to be tough for a few years, especially the first 5 years. And then at the same time, I think you can talk to your state and send emails saying, hey, why can't we increase our rates? Go actually do the study. Look up the article that we're going to put below and go look it up. Why do we have 1 per 4? Why can't we increase it to 1 out of 5? You know, 1 teacher for 5 kids, or 1 to 4, increase it from 3 to 4. If more and more people ask these questions of your congressmen, your local political leaders, your senators, if you're asking these questions, they're going to have to pay attention to it. And then eventually, maybe that helps a little bit with the margins. They make a little bit more money. You pay a little bit less. It works out for everybody. But those are my thoughts on this issue. If you're a parent and you have kids and you're doing your job, you're working, your husband's working, you're going through it, but it's still tough to make it, I salute you. I applaud you. I respect you for it. I recommend you increase your market value. But at the same time, those are some of my thoughts for people that are going through this. If you got value out of this video, give it a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. I got 2 videos for you to watch. One of them is a statistic on so many women that are wanting to be childless today, okay? I don't recommend it, but if you want to see some of the stats, click here to watch that. The other one is a video we did on the welfare program and how the incentives got people to have kids by mothers who are single mothers without the father in the picture. 40% used to be 4%. What the hell is that all about? If you want to know the history, click here to watch that. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye.